Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to give a big shout out and hello to our Christian Television Network audience and VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, is this not, if you haven't been joining us, we've been talking about the heart of Nehemiah and just kind of continuing the journey over it. And it's just amazing what we can learn from Nehemiah's journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, just think about it. You know, the word is so powerful. If we just take time to abide and spend time with the Lord and just read, the Holy Spirit can really unveil to us and show so many ways that the scriptures can apply to our lives and to what's going on in our everyday world. It's amazing how this book that was written over 1,500 years is still speaking to us today.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit wrote the book and he's with us.
Right.
And as I was just going through Nehemiah, I'm realizing, wow, this is such a blueprint to rebuilding the church.
It really is. And we're just going to continue that conversation because we just want to stay in it as long as God will continue to speak to us, because this journey is the heart of Nehemiah, how to rebuild the church of America. And you got to hear this in its entirety. You know, we are just continuing the conversation and we're in Nehemiah chapter 4 and kind of verse 7 or 8 is where we left off. In the context of this, that, you know, they're again and again, they're rebuilding, they're working, they're doing what God said, they're following the vision and the one the Lord gave the direction to be able to do it. But in the context of that, that the enemy does not just sit back and let you protect God's folks. He doesn't sit back and say, oh, that's wonderful, I'm not going to have access anymore. Yeah. And as we were talking in the previous program, as here they are, they're rebuilding the walls, as Nehemiah has been called to do. And I want to get right in there, because he's rebuilding the walls. They're halfway up. Which means they're halfway down too, but halfway up, and there was gaps in the walls, and they begin to close the gaps in the walls, and this really stirred up people who were not gods, who were possessive. When I say that, they're not; they're just Lucifer's children. Mm. You know, they're children of, he says, held captive to do the will of Satan, and they immediately realized that I'm not going to have access anymore. And that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And you're thinking, here you've been walking with God, and you're wondering why these folks, you know, just go in and out, in and out. Yeah, they're still, they're not living for God. I mean, they may profess they're living for God, but they're not living for God. And you're wondering, like, what's going on? They're walking through the gap in your life. They're walking through the gap in your gathering and how your expression, whatever's going on. There's a gap there. And there shouldn't be that kind of access. And the thing about it is, are you ready to build the walls? Are you ready to have close those gaps where people can come through the gate, which is Jesus Christ? People that you can't. This is what people, because of not building the walls up and because of not closing the gaps, people actually think they can be saved by just walking into your gathering. Mm. They think they can just put their name on a roll at your church gathering, your church whatever organization, and they're in. Mm-hmm. They never went through the gate. They came through a gap in the way that your structure is set up. They came through a gap through some sort of relationship, a gap in someone else's life. And so they've been sitting there for 5 years, but they've never made Jesus Christ the Lord. They like Jesus. Right. They talk to him all the time about miracles and things, but they like the bread that they get from him. They're not following him for him, internal life, for who he is. And so that's because there's gaps. And so, and we're doing them an injustice in regards to not letting them know you're not in until you're in. You know, and if we would have built up the walls and lived in a way that everybody knows the only way in is through Jesus Christ, then that would have helped. Mm-hmm. But since there's no walls and there's no, the gates, the authority's burnt, then people are coming from everywhere, all over the place, and we're scattered. And so you have, you know, all kinds of things going on in the name of, quote, the church. And the reality is there's a church in there somewhere.
Yeah,
there's a church in there somewhere through all of that, and she is there, and he—that's the church is there, but you have to understand all this other has come in as well. And so when you begin to just rebuild the walls and begin to disciple and focus and do what God has said, then you start finding out, oh wow, you know, I'm outside the walls. I didn't realize I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And so they're plotting against, the enemy is plotting against Nehemiah to fight against a Jerusalem, which is taking place today, even as we speak. In Jerusalem now, mm-hmm. and stirring up trouble against him. Why? Because the wall was halfway up and the gates were about to be closed. And this is their response, and this should be always our response. Again, it said, this is the response, but we pray to our God. We pray to our God. And the way to do this is, if you don't wait till Sanballat shows up to pray. You build your prayer relationship with God over an extended period of your life. We call it abiding. Mm-hmm. And so you're just constantly there at that moment. And you already understand the voice of God. You understand how to hear God. And God knows that you're listening. He can speak to you and give you strategies or whatever. And so you're praying to God, God, what do I do with this? This dude is back again, right?
Right.
Doesn't he have anything else to do?
All right.
You know, where did you come? TKO. What happened again? You know what I'm saying? All these different things. It's like, back again. And the thing is, it's just going to, so you just pray to God, God, what should I do? And God will just show you all kinds of things. He may show you that particular Sanballat captive is going to be saved, going to be humbled, and going to enter into the kingdom of God. And you know how to approach that person based on that particular thing going on. But they did, they prayed, but then they also did this. They prayed and they posted guards on the day and guards of the night to meet this threat. Mm. And how many people just want to show up at the game, but nobody wants to watch the gate? I mean, how vulnerable are, and I was just in another city this last weekend talking to ministers from around the Southeast, and they were talking about, you know, we got to have strategies that if somebody comes in wanting to harm the flock, that we just don't sit there like ducks. That, and so one particular gathering says, well, you know, that we got people there that they already, we have a plan. If this goes down, everybody goes down, and the ones who are able to defend the flock will respond accordingly, right?
Right.
And bring any adversary to the throne room of God. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's not, they're talking about strategies. And so they were thinking, and that's a physical strategy, but also a spiritual strategy. What do you do when Jezebel shows up on your back row of your gathering? You know, normally in the crevices and the cracks, but with staunchness, right? Yeah, right. And what do you do with that? And if you haven't have a strategy for this, you pray, but you also post guards and say, you look out for this and put yourself in between the flock and that dark captive that was mm-hmm. wanting to harm, you know, God's people. That's what mm-hmm. you do. You begin to warn the folks. It's like, hey, something's going on that's not right here. And so they pray, but they also had a strategy. So let's rehearse this. This is what we're going to do. To make sure that everybody's safe, which gives everybody, by the way, a feeling of safety mm-hmm. and protection. They know that they're being looked over. And I know that with our neighborhood, for example, that we live in, our home is in, that we have what's called a neighborhood watch. The neighbors came and asked me to, you know, us all put it together, whatever. And one of the neighbors, you know, told me, they said, listen, you know, I just feel so safe because you're actively involved in this. Mm-hmm. And that's how the church should feel if you're operating in the heart of Nehemiah, that they're aware you're aware, and that you have strategies to be able to that you're praying, you're talking to God about it, but you're mm-hmm. also hearing what God says and putting that the strategy, the super and the natural. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, without a strategy, you know, you're out of gas.
Right. Because
what happens is that people just flip out and just do anything at that moment. But if you're prepared, then you know.
Yeah, and chaos is not a time to say, do this and do that.
Right.
And so then he goes in verse 11 and says, also our enemy said, while they were building, by the way, while they were building the people, here the enemies come in and attacking. If that's not bad enough, we've got the strategy going on. We're having to set guards up. We're having to have a more focused prayer on what's going on. Meanwhile, the people of Judah, the ones that were building the walls, says our strength, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Here you are. You're halfway there. You're finally closing down some gaps that have always been there. This dude won't go away. This group, this thing, this stuff won't go away. And they're constantly trying to stop the growth of what's going on. And isn't it amazing how it just comes right in the middle of what is yeah. and begins to destroy mm-hmm. it? And not even know.
Not a clue.
Not even a know. It's like, you were a nuclear spiritual bomb that just blew all this up.
And you have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. And it's deception. It's just, it should create deep humility in us to realize, dear God, you know, if that thing's happening and it's not, and don't even know, it's like, my goodness. And so, and here they are. Now, to top it off, everybody's going, listen, this thing, we're not going to be able to do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, now's not the time to openly talk out loud why Sanballat and his crew are looking for an inlet to be able to destroy and stop what God said is going to happen here. And you had the folks begin to measure and say, it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. Can't do this thing. They're physically tired. They begin to think that because of my physical nature, that God's spiritual accomplishments won't take place, not realizing despite our weakness and our inability, if we follow God, we just continue to do the work in faith, in confidence, believing God, keeping our personal doors closed, keeping our heart filled with the ways of God, abiding with him. He's going to bring to pass his will. I mean, he's just going to do it. And it's not about can we do it, it's will we lay ourselves down at the cross of Christ and allow him to accomplish the work through us. And so it's not about is your strength up, it's do you apply the wisdom. And this is where it's important to write down your vision, as we said earlier programs, to make it plain, not so other people can run with it at this point. You're going to have to run with it. You're going to have to go back and look at your vision.
All right.
And, whoa, what's going on here? I'm just bushed and tired and I can't, you know, whatever. And you're going to have to be able to go back and refresh yourself as David encouraged himself in the Lord. You're going to have to go back and remember that. Secondly, you know, you're going to have to invest in some wisdom. You got to quit working out of so much ignorance. Know this, that the God is wisdom itself. And that if you don't ever seek wisdom, especially in your weak areas of your life, your weak areas are your gaps. It's going to constantly allow Sanballat, people that have the spirit to stop what God's doing in your life. Well, stop it. And we talk about value-based vision management, you know, after hearing what God is saying to you and begin to write these things down and make them plain so that you can run with it, other people can run with it, but then you have a systematic way to put the stones in place. You know what you need to do next with this particular person,
right,
who's at this place in their stone journey. In the context, you know how to, you study, you learn how to close gaps. You know how to finish walls. You know how to, you know, where you get the gate material at. You know how to disciple. You know how to relate. You know how to, and it's important. You need to be able to write the vision and make it plain. But you also need the wisdom to be able to walk it out. Because if you're just doing like Tim Tebow in regards to just pushing through because you're strong and you're like Samson here. I mean, at some point, you could get a haircut. You know,
that's right.
At some point, you know, you're just going to just wane out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not by might, not by power, but by God's spirit is how these things are accomplished. Understand, remember who you were, Nehemiah, when God called you. It was him that put this on your heart. You looked at devastation. You thought there was no hope. But God began to reveal that hope on this whole journey, and we talked about it. Don't forget who you were when God first called you, because you're still the same person. It's God. It's the one that's doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just relax. Remember, there's contingencies. Don't define yourself about how Nazarites respond to, you know, what's going on and that type of thing. Just continue to do what God said. It may be the next generation. You may be the Joshua and the Caleb that goes on to the next generation that's the gap closer, mm-hmm, that generation is going to go in because the last one was too scared, too terrified, and was contingent upon, the promised land was contingent upon, would the people go? Would they be confident enough in God to be able to go? And the answer for them was no. But for Joshua and Caleb, it was yes. And so God kept them around long enough to be able to impart what he was saying to them to the next generation, and they went in. More about this when we come back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it's tempting to ignore the holidays just to avoid the stress that comes with them. I'm John Fuller with the Focus on the Family Minute. If you're a parent, you need to consider what Pastor Tommy Nelson remembers about his childhood and holidays.
One of the things that I am most grateful for growing up is my mother made my home a magic place. There was such love, there was such happiness in my home that Christmas was magic. Easter was magic. Thanksgiving was magic. Pulling a tooth was magic in my home. And it was a big deal to try to catch her sticking that quarter under there. And I believed in the tooth fairy till I was 22, I think, 23.
Well, the holidays can be stressful for parents, but they also provide happy times that bind our children to our family and later on create fond memories that can draw home a prodigal teen. A reminder from Focus on the Family.
And, you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday because it just God just filled, so filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg, a vision that God gave me in regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because, listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
Don't forget, we have four programs back-to-back and 24-7. We're on 24-7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To be able to encourage you, keeping the conversation light. And understand what that means is Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to be the light of the world. So we can look at what's happening, educate ourselves, and then we can look at God's word and shine the light of God's word on what's happening, our education, and go, you know what? We can be inspired by God's word, you know, by illuminating what's happening with God's word. And then it can inspire us to know, you know, wow. And there's an answer for this, but most of all, after all of that, all we have at this point is a pep rally unless it activates you. And our desire is to activate you in your marriage and your family and your workplace and your ministry and your church gathering, wherever it's just activate you to be what everything God's called you to be. And that's our goal. That's our goal on VFN Radio and VFN TV and the Christian Television Network.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing to talk about the heart of Nehemiah here in Nehemiah chapter 4. You know, we're responding to this more of the Sanballat type spirit that's going on and how important it is to be able to have wisdom. And understand, you know, as they were coming in, trying to stop the work. They don't mind if you stay around as long as you stop doing what God's called you to do. They don't mind. They'll give you a job. They'll hire you up. They'll put you in. They'll take a general right off the front lines and put you in CIA or something to run it. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, they'll give you a job. Hey, I just want to bring you in to my, you know, like, ooh, I'll pay you. And that's what happened to Robert Sheridan when you think about him, the Welsh revivalist. Happened to plenty of folks. And so the people were saying, listen, our strength's given out. So we've already talked about that. So here they are kind of weakened. They're starting to proclaim the opposite of what they professed that they're going to do. Let's do this thing. Now they're saying we can't do this thing because we're tired. We don't have the rubbles out here. We can't build from this rubble. And so the enemy comes in. You think this is not a time for the enemy. Just relax. Calm down. Understanding they're coming against God, not you. It's for God to defend himself. If you're moving in humility, you're moving in prayer, you're abiding with God, and you're doing what he's called you to do, just watch what happens to Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, you'll see, you know, what God's going to do. This is not you, Peter. This is God. And so you just watch what happens. And we just heard it right while we were talking in a previous program, as we were talking to you and sharing with you these consequences, there was somebody that called and left a voicemail and said, somebody has the consequences right now on top of them. Did they not?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's so, you know, what do you do? I mean, anyway, so it's God. that you'd be fighting against. And so you got to relax. That's who they would be coming against. So also at this point, then the enemy said, before they know it or see us, before they know it that's going on, this strategy, and before they see us, we'll be right there among them.
Mm.
You got to stay alert. I know he's your uncle. I know, you know, she's your mother. I know that he's your son. I know that that's that, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, this is your BFF. I know what you're saying here. But understand, if you're not the church, you're not the church. And you need to be able to identify that. Because he says, before they know it, before they even know it or even see us, we will be right there among them. And remember, Paul warned day and night, night and day with tears for like 3 years. Understand this. This is so important. I mean, why would somebody who wrote almost half of the New Testament under the unction of the Spirit of God, who had third heaven revelation about God, saw the face of God, say, listen, with tears, I'm warning you that wolves are going to come in amongst you when I leave you, and they're going to come in from among you. And he's warning them, which means look out for wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody's like, oh, I'm so glad that we have Jezebel here today.
Right.
You know, she's traveled around from church gathering to church gathering, and you know, we're all connected to her thing now. And here, we're just so glad to have her. Hopefully she'll join us.
Mm.
Is that, you know, and she's deciding, well, I didn't know, at least for her, or he's in. So it's like, what are you doing? Do you even know their fruit yet? Spend some time with them. There might be a reason. Have you called the last shepherd?
Mm.
And they're like, well, I would, but he's dead. He's out of the ministry now. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's a good clue. That's a very good clue. And he said, before you know it, before they know what we're doing, before they even see us, we'll be amongst their numbers and we'll kill them and put an end to their work.
Mm.
Well, they're talking about physical death here, but what we're talking about in the context of, although physical death is happening in the church all around the world, and we're beginning to see some remnants of that, you know, near, that you'll watch them. They'll kill people spiritually. They'll kill their soul. They'll snuff out their spirit. And it's like, you were so happy 3 weeks ago. Who came in amongst you? Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Mm-hmm. Who bewitched you? Who got in without you being aware of it? Mm-hmm. Who got amongst you? And who killed your vision, the hope, and the very word that God spoke over you? What you doing driving that person around the community? What are you doing?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
Right. You know, get back to God. Yeah, realize the journey is not going to be good going away from God like that. And their goal is to kill you. As a matter of fact, look what they've already done. Look how depressed and down, and now you're being critical and fault-finding of the very ones that you walked with.
Mm.
The very ones you said, I am here, I will lay down my life for you, and now you're actually wanting to lay down their life. You know? And it's that progression of once you walk with them, you begin to sit with them, and once you sit with them, you become scornful with them. It's just that progression journey that Proverbs talks about, Psalms. Then he says, then the Jews who lived near them, who was them? Well, the ones who are building the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes some folks that lives near them, and they're gonna encourage them. They told them 10 times, 10 times they told them, whenever you turn, says whenever you turn, they will attack us.
Mm.
They're gonna attack us every time you turn. They're gonna attack us.
Mm.
Whenever you turn, they're gonna attack us. I heard you. Whenever you turn, they're gonna attack us. 10 times. Whenever you turn, okay, I got it. You think about it. 10 times.
Wow.
The sky's falling. Don't go to Jerusalem. Hey, I just want to let you know. Thank you. I got it on the 9th time. I don't need the 10th time.
How much is a bus ticket?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, Jiminy, dark crickets. So anyway, so they're telling him, so here, and all this reality is taking place. This is exactly what the wolves are saying. They're just circling now the half-walled Jerusalem, the gapped areas. They're watching, they're drooling, they're knowing the gates. The authority's not really yet established yet. and they're really just kind of circling. What do we do? How are we going to take this? And they're getting in through the gaps, and they're saying, when you turn, that wolves are going to attack you. And that's what happens in the wildlife. Satan goes around like a roaring lion. Let me tell you, this is what it looks like. People who are held captive by Lucifer go around like roaring lions seeking someone to devour. They don't look like a lion. But understand, the ramifications of your spirit and your soul will be the same if you lay down in the den of lions. It's going to end up that way. And so what his response was, again, Nehemiah stationed some people behind the lowest points of the wall. I mean, how many people go, you know, this is just, it's not really happening here. You know, I want to be by the back door. You know, I want to be kind of out there where it's happening, where, you know, where there's a lot of good things going on. And you know, I don't want to teach this class. It's like, oh, this is the low part of the vision. This is where the wall's not fully built yet. You know, when it's high, it's higher areas, you know, there's more things happening. There's more safety. There's more flowing of the spirit. All these things are going on. At the low point of the wall and the exposed places, I'm out here, you know, in darkness. And it's like that. You have to be willing to follow the lead. Whatever God is saying to Nehemiah, for example, or saying to him or her, they're saying you got to guard that because you're part of the whole thing. Everybody, your success is everybody's success. The strength of the chain is as strong as its weakest link.
That's right.
And if you won't guard that gap, then anything can come through that gap. If you will not guard that gate, then anything can come through that gate. No matter how big the guards are in other places, you're going to give the adversary access because you're not willing to do what God has called you to do. And David said, I'm willing to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I mean, I'm just happy to be there. And so he puts guards at the lowest points of the wall and exposed places, posting them by families, which means all of our different gatherings and our streams. You know, we're thinking about how this thing's being built with their swords and their spears and their bows. This was an offensive effort. We have to wake up. The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing and is forceful men to lay hold of it from the time of John the Baptist even to now. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program. You got to join us. This is really encouraging my heart. What do we do? How do we set up a guard against the wolves who are trying to come in amongst you while you're trying to build up the walls and rebuild America through the heart of Nehemiah led by Jesus Christ himself?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com. Today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com. I'm going to say, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up
You need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I welcome everybody from the Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and our VFN Radio audience around the nation, around the world. We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because if there's a lot of darkness, right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24-7, 24-7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? And we're talking right now about hope. And we're continuing a conversation about the heart of Nehemiah and just kind of going through and realizing, man, God is revealing to us a strategy to be able to, if God touches you or ma'am or sir and says, you know, it gives you the heart of Nehemiah and we follow this pathway of a journey towards rebuilding the church in America, rebuilding the walls. And I really believe when you look at the church that we still never in America, we've never, all the pieces have never fully come together yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, things have happened, but there's a lot of stones that haven't been, you know what I'm saying? It's been kind of like plain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so bringing all the stones together, you know, all of us, which is very pleasing. Psalms 133 to the Father is the place of the commanded blessing mm-hmm. of God. It's our greatest witness to the world that they're loved by God, and that's God's expectation of us. And so how can we together build the
mosaic?
Yeah, mosaic, literally a mosaic. And so we're talking about, you know, and we're in Nehemiah chapter 4 here, and they were building and building the walls up and doing in the context of what was happening in verse 13, you know, he starts realizing these guys just don't go away. They just, the troublemakers and the people that try to stop us are going around like roaring lions, trying to constantly come mm-hmm. to these gaps. And people, when the strategy comes in and all of a sudden, you know, Nehemiah starts telling some folks, you're going to stand by the low place over here in the wall, the exposed places, and need to be responsible for this area. Some people are like, you know, I want to be in the high place. I don't want to mm-hmm. be in the low place. Mm-hmm. You know, I want my name in the lights. I don't want to be, you know, and Jesus says, can you drink this cup? Do you really want
that's
it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, understand that we are as strong, a chain is as strong as this weakest link. And when you're being, you have an assignment, work with it before the Lord, everything that's in your heart, knowing that that is so significant for whatever God has placed in that particular Nehemiah's heart, whatever God is doing and rebuilding through him or her in the context of it. And it's amazing. If you just be faithful over the few things, God will bless you with many. If you're faithful over the little things, the low things, understand that he knows he can trust you in the high things. Mm-hmm. But if you want the high things when you don't want the low things, that's pride. And you can't be in the high things because it's the low thing has already revealed the pride that's in your heart. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when you're just thankful to be in the low thing and low places and vulnerable places, and you see the significance if you're helping even one, or you're fending off those that are trying to come in, you're okay with that. Because Like David said, I'm just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, I'd just be grateful. And that's a man God chose to use to lead and protect his people. And that's the man who God chose through his lineage that his son would come through. Mm-hmm. And so that does say something in the context of humility. And then he also not only posted people, but he posted them by families. And you think about families, when you look at the church, instead of thinking about it in denominationalism and thinking about it as organizations, think about all the families that are there. You have all these different streams and families. And so, you know, you'll see that, you know, somebody says, well, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing what God's called our family to do, but we have to also acknowledge what God's called your family to do. And so you're standing by that part of the kingdom and the wall being built. Mm-hmm. And we're standing by this part being built, and our other family member over here is doing it. So all the families of God, and we're under the, mm-hmm. we're in the family of God, but you have cousins and nephews and all this different, you know, other families. And think of them as family, because that's what they are, instead of thinking of them as a denomination, as an organization, or an independent this, or mm-hmm. a dependent that. But just understand that we're all in the kingdom of God, and God is using us differently. So we need to acknowledge and orchestrate ourselves in the context of, okay, this is what this family does. Mm-hmm. Because what happens quite often, we begin to project on other families that's not what they're called to do. This family may be called, had this great gift to be able to minister to the homeless and the hungry and the orphan, and that just takes everything that family can do, but they're very good at that. But they're taking care of that part of the wall. Mm-hmm. So instead of them saying, how come you don't minister to the orphan or the homeless or the whatever, then you acknowledge what they're doing and say, that's just wonderful what you're doing. You're taking care of that part of the wall. But then what you're doing, whatever it may be, maybe teaching the truth. I mean, you got an anointed teaching word, and that, you know, that teaching's going everywhere, and it is affecting folks and setting people free. Well, the people who have the family that's watching over the homeless and the sick of the orphan, you know, they would just acknowledge. You would say, hey, thank God for that teaching, because that's really helping us maintain that part of the wall, because the wall is people. It's mm-hmm. not buildings. It's family. And that's why you want the teaching to go out everywhere, and that's why you want the one whose gift, the family's gift with orphans and homeless and all that, to go out everywhere, because it's all the same kingdom. It's yeah. the same place. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, it fits.
Right. It fits. So by families, so we start recognizing, you know, what families are called to do. And then set them in place with swords, spears, and bows. This is so important when you think about it. When you think about a sword, a spear, and a bow, you think about the word of God in regards to, that was a natural battle that they're fighting against a natural enemy because of a spiritual consequence. Today, we're fighting a spiritual enemy, winning the person, the soul of the person, to the Lord. So we got to be careful. We're fighting a spiritual battle. But the sword, a spear, and a bow, when you think about the word of God, the word of God is it's a sword. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. It is a sword, the sword of God. And so even though you can think about, I even have a sword right here. When you think about a sword, I don't know if you can see the sword or not, but the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It's a spear. It penetrates even to the dividing, right? Mm-hmm. A bone, a marrow, thought, mm-hmm. and a tent. And that it has power. The bow has power, the pulling back of the bow and launching it. When God's word goes forth, it accomplishes that, what it set out to do. So you don't go to the low place. You just don't go get your family focused in a vision what you're doing. You stay in the word of God. Mm. You become entrenched in the word of God. You abide. You hide God's word in your heart. You talk to him. You hear what he's telling you to do, and you do what he says to do. I mean, that's the context of it. So you're armed now with battle. And he says, and after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. I mean, you would wish when you said that people would not be afraid.
Right.
Right.
But when they really mean that, quite often fearful people are afraid to tell you that they're afraid. Mm-hmm. And prideful people are unaware that they're actually afraid. You know what I'm saying? They don't realize, no, it's like, no. Well, you're acting afraid.
Right now. Yes.
You're afraid. You're overreacting. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. You think, my goodness, you got this contingency going on. You got people in the low places. You got families focusing on these different areas. You're saying, you know, arm yourself with the word of God and let the word of God penetrate you and penetrate others that's going on. And he says, listen, don't be afraid of them. This is not happening because someone's afraid. And the enemy would love to be able to take that narrative and begin to promulgate it and say, well, you're doing all this because you're afraid of us. You're afraid of what we're going to do. You're fearful. It's like, no, we're just wise. Mm-hmm. We're just wise. We understand your intentions mm-hmm. and what you're going to do. You know, I like what Dr. King says. I fear no man. I fear no dogs. But in the context of that, you've got to be able to say, you know, let people know, don't be afraid. This has nothing to do with fear at all. It's just wisdom because we have not yet finished rebuilding the walls. The walls have to be rebuilt. Mm. And they're only halfway up. The gaps are starting to get closed. The gates are not even up yet. Authority hasn't been established. And then he says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Think about that. Understand this, that when God gives you the call, don't forget God gave you the call. Don't forget you didn't even know about it until he told you about it. And he is involving you in his storyline. So don't own it. You know, like you're going to write a book talking about you're the one that actually has done this thing. Remember mm-hmm. from whence you came. Know that he's the one doing it. So you go back and you remember. You tell everybody, listen, I know all this is happening in the horizontal, but remember the vertical. This is not something we're doing, because what happens is people start taking ownership. They start liking what it looks like. Mm-hmm. They start liking what it feels like. They start liking how it's built. They start getting something from it. Then they start telling others that this is what we're doing and I like my thing. And there's, you know, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. because this identity becomes with what's being done instead of who's the one that called them to do it. And so they become fearful that they're going to lose that. And they become fearful, like, what are we going to do with that? And it's like, what are you, it's not, it's God. Don't you remember? God. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Yes, it's good what's happened so far. Yes, it's great what's going on. But understand it's God that built it. It's God that called you, and it's God that will keep it. And so you have to let God keep you through all this. And then he said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. There was a day in America that people had that mentality. They said, listen, this country is worth laying our life down for. Mm-hmm. That the original tent, to be able to worship freely and open our hearts freely and speak openly about God, and it's worth fighting for. Many people have laid down their lives for it. When they knew, and they're fighting for their children and their wives and their family. When people had to stand their ground in times in the season, they knew they were fighting. But in regards to the family of God, you know, remember the Lord who was great and awesome, and fight for the family of God.
Yeah,
fight for them. Fight for them when they're wanting to date a wolf. Fight for them when something's trying to come into the gap. Even if they totally misunderstand it, fight mm-hmm. for them when people that are held captive by sand ballots are launching, you know, lies over the walls and all these different things are going on. Fight for them. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Yes, your natural family, of course, but also your spiritual family. Jesus said, let me tell you, because they told him when he was sitting there in a house, ministering to his disciples, which I guess he had a ministry in a home, I guess, at that point, and God. And his mama and his brother came out to find him because they thought he's lost his mind. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought God's lost his mind. Mm-hmm. He gave them the ability to think, and they used it to think that he lost their mind. He lost his own mind. And he hadn't eaten in a while. And so they're knocking on the door trying to get in to rescue God, trying to rescue Jesus.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something, Nehemiah. There are people that will come and try to rescue you from the call of God on your life. Mm. You're like, you need to get out of that low walled, half walled, gapped, non gate, burnt gate, burnt stone. You know, come over here with the rest of us dead folks. You know, that's what right. are you doing? And where darkness reigns, we have no problem. You can do anything you want to do, And so he said, let me tell you who my mother and my brother. This is Jesus. Why his mama was still outside. This is Mary, mind you, and his brother still outside. And he says, let me tell you who my family is. Mm-hmm. He said, my family is those who do the will of my Father. So if you want to know who you need to fight for, it's that one who is doing the will of the Father. And you need to fight for them in the context of the one who's not doing the will of capital F Father. They're doing the will of their small f Father, Lucifer. Jesus said, yeah, you have a father, all right. Your father is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. When he speaks, he speaks his native language. So you're protecting the one who's doing God's will, who's in the family, from the one who's not doing God's will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you're fighting. You're not fighting just for folks in general. You're fighting for the family of God. It's very important to understand that, because you could end up fighting for somebody who's not even a friend of God.
Right.
They don't want anything to do with God while you're allowing the people of God and the lovers of God and the family of God to be destroyed by the adversary. So you do fight. You fight for them. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. We're talking about Nehemiah, the heart of Nehemiah, how to rebuild the walls of the church, or rebuild the church in America.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You know, you get a, if you got a, how to use a Band-Aid. Remember how to use a Band-Aid. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aid.
Yeah, very familiar with Band-Aids.
Stuck on me. And so... and what'd you do if you had a Band-Aid that you had to put on your arm or something like that? You know, when you put it on, it was no big problem. But remember when you take it off, you know, you'd snatch it in a hurry, right? You know, cause it's probably going to hurt, right?
Really bad.
Really. It depends on really how hairy you are, I guess.
Definitely.
The, some people it hurts worse than others. And so you'd snatch it off in a hurry. It wasn't the fact that you were going to, you're probably going to lose a couple, you know, hairs on your arm or something, but you would just snatch it because it'd be less pain. You put it really slow, you know, then it would hurt, right? It's like one hair at a time ripping out of your skin. And so here I am the other day, you know, I'm, you know, I haven't put a Band-Aid on in I don't know how long, you know? And so I need to put a Band-Aid on, and I just put a Band-Aid on, and it was time to take the Band-Aid off. So just like you did as a kid, you know, I snatched up. I'm older now. Oh, my goodness. I snatched that puppy off and a little piece of my skin came with a Band-Aid.
Oh, no.
It was horrific. I'm thinking, I'm dying. I'm
now
falling.
You need another one.
I refuse. It was like a little small piece. It's like, ow, you know? And it was like the part that the Band-Aid I put on, that's totally fine. But where the sticker part was,
oh my God,
it took a little piece. I'm like, I'm old. My skin came off with a Band-Aid. Forget
that's
the
bad.
It was very bad, you know? So I need prayer for my skin. Oh my goodness.
Getting old.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's the first thing I thought about. You know, you get older, your skin's kind of loose on your body. Well, I wouldn't know that. I guess now I do. And I remember when you're... your grandfather.
I was thinking of the same thing.
Yeah, your grandfather got in a wreck.
Yeah.
Oh, if you could have got a chance, those in the audience, you got a chance to meet his grandfather. He's just a real, real cool man. And but he got in a wreck, and his skin. Imagine rolling your sleeve up on your arm. Mm-hmm. He had long sleeve shirts on. That his skin rolled up. Mm-hmm. You know, and they pulled it back down and sewed it on us. But skin, your skin. You know, if you don't know this yet, when you get older, you know, your skin's kind of a little bit
brittle.
Brittle, and so I was like, oh my goodness, that was not the soft part, it's the part, it's just, I need another Band-Aid, but I'm not brave enough to put another Band-Aid on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I will just live through this pain.
I'll just die.
I'll just die first, you know, and Donna came and doctored it up for me, you know, and I'm like, my goodness gracious. So watch out, don't watch out just for the place that you're going to cover up, it's going to be healed. Watch out for the other part of the Band-Aid. I mean, that's a culprit. That is a culprit.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about the heart of Nehemiah, the heart of Nehemiah. And just going right in here. understand the next thing they talk about in verse 15 in chapter 4. He says, you know, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, the power of exposing the enemy. Understand how powerful that is. And let me tell you something. If you're abiding with God, he'll just outright tell you. He'll just tell you. He'll give you a vision. He'll dream. He'll download it to you. He'll just tell you. Mm-hmm. And pay attention. They listened. God spoke. God revealed. 10 times they were told what was happening.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they prepared. They prepared spiritually and physically for the battle. And so their enemies, when they heard that their plots and that God had frustrated their plan, frustrated it. How did they frustrate it? He frustrated it by giving them wisdom on how to prepare for it. You know, stand in the low places, arm yourself, day and night watch over, you know, stand by your families, organize. In other words, they were wisdom. And that's how, let me tell you how you can frustrate the enemy. Just do what God says. Mm-hmm. Follow Nehemiah. Quit coming up. It's like, America, please follow somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Follow God. And what he does, and it says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work, each to our own work. And understand that when all this was coming in, people thought they couldn't even work anymore. They thought they didn't have enough strength anymore.
Wow.
But notice, it was a mindset. It was just depression, loss of vision. When the enemy comes in, all of a sudden your mind gets all bogged down. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that was all cleared up and the enemy backed off, people had the strength. They could see that they could do it, and they're back at work again. Isn't that amazing how that works? Yeah.
Wow.
So don't throw. As a matter of fact, when you do something significant, when you have a significant exertion in the kingdom of God, you know, wait 24, 48 hours before you make any judgments.
Mm.
Just whatever. Just be okay. No matter what. No yes or no for 24 hours, 48 hours. This is a good thing for those who just preach like they have nothing left on Sundays. You know, relax. Wait till Tuesday before you say anything.
Yeah. All right.
Because the enemy's going to get you, start beating you up and all the doubt and that. And understand, no. This is going to be good. And they made it through this aspect of it. And in verse 16, and they talk about how it's set up, he says, from that day on, in other words, because we got a new strategy, this is not going to let up. Sanballat and these, you know, guys are just going to continue to be used by the adversary to do this. So, and this is what happens. This is what happens. You know, it's been a while now. I'm sure Sanballat's a good man now. Oh. I'm sure he's a good man. And he's not going to plot evil like he used to anymore, right? And, you know, guy. And it's like, are you Nehemiah, right? If you're not Nehemiah, God is not leaving that with you. You don't have to figure that out, which means ever how it was laid down in the original state, that's how it is until Nehemiah changes it. Because God's speaking to Nehemiah about that.
Give your brain a rest. That's not something for you to be
that's
thinking about
that's not something
right
that
now.
You're going to do. You know, and it's so quick. So because people don't write things down, because they don't document things, because they don't put remembrances up, that they're easily misled by forgetting. This is the one that was trying to kill God's folks. That's the reason why you don't want to give the Palestinians a lay in there, you know?
Hello.
And so from that day on, then the new strategy, they had put half of the men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. This is so important when you think about equipped. What does equipped mean for us? Equipped means the full revelation of the armor of God. When he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, you don't just go naked to battle. You don't just go out there, well, I got my helmet of salvation. I hope this thing's working. What do you want me to do? Get dressed.
Right.
Get dressed. And he says, finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. And I could hear Nehemiah almost just, projecting this over everybody. Listen, don't remember God. Remember what he's done. He's dressing everybody for battle, and he's also dressing them for work at the same time. Some people say, I just want to go fight things. Somebody else says, I want to build things. And we're going to find out it's something that has to be done simultaneously. So he says, finally, in Ephesians, Paul's speaking to the church, and this is like Nehemiah speaking to all of us in building the walls. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. But think about it. That's what he's saying. Like, get your armor on. Get your spears and your bow. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground against Sanballat. So you can stand your ground against those who are coming against Jerusalem. so you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes. This is the devil's schemes coming against Jerusalem. They're going to continue to come. Don't think they're just going to go away. They're going back and they're plotting and planning to do more stuff. And he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's why we can pray for the people, because they're being held captive by Satan to do his will. And the best way to defeat Satan is to win them into the kingdom and the family of God. So he tells us right up front, we're not wrestling against physical things, it's spiritual things. And that's why it's so important. God loves that person who's hating on you. And as you start hating on them, you're joining in with the same thing that's going on. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. And that's what he's talking about. Put people, the armor on them. Put on the full armor of God so that you, on the day of evil, when the day of evil comes, so it's going to come again and again and again, you may be able to stand your ground, whether it's a low place or a high place, whether it's a gap or a door or a gate. And after you have done everything to do, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You can have peace in the midst of all this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, your confidence and surety and the call and the direction, the plan of God that he has laid out to rebuild the walls of the church. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish and annihilate all the flaming arrows of Sanballat, of Satan, of Lucifer, of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and begin to do spiritual battle and to defend your place. Defend the wall. Fight for the family of God. Fight. Fight. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men that lay hold of it. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. In the physicalness of the thing, we love them and we want them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the best way to defeat Satan is to win them to Jesus Christ. Go tell them. Go tell your haters, the ones that they're using you, the ones that are speaking abusively against you, that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And realize they very well make a decision to join the family of God. We're going to talk more about the heart of Nehemiah, a strategy to rebuild the church in America. Stay tuned. Don't forget, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, VFN Radio, VFN TV, and Christian Television Network. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.